On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I go over the men's basketball recent victory over Georgia and preview their upcoming game against Vanderbilt. And then there is a double preview for the women's basketball team as they take on Vanderbilt as well and also UConn this week. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 37 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And I hope everyone had a lovely weekend out there. I hope you were able to relax, cut loose, whatever it may be. And most importantly, if you were in the Carolinas, there is a good chance you had a snow day. It finally happened. Weatherman Tim Cox, Cox Talking Gamecocks Weather Edition, finally hit. We were saying stay warm for the past few episodes, and there was legitimate snowfall in the Carolinas this past weekend. And honestly, I'm jealous. I'm low-key jealous. It looked like so much fun. Everyone was out there having a good time. It's a fantastic weekend to stay put, to stay inside. You had Gamecock basketball on, NFL playoffs. Top 5 day to stay snowed in, honestly. But it was really so cool to see the pictures and everybody out on campus at USC enjoying the snow, having a good time. The pictures of the horseshoe. Cocky was out there. They had sandstorm going, snowball fights. It was so, so cool. And it was the last snowfall was like 2014 where there was actual accumulation. So that was really cool. I loved everybody drawing the comparisons of saying, Beamer comes in, he gets all the players from the portal, he even changes the weather in Columbia. And hey, I mean, that's not a bad trend. In 2014, things were looking pretty damn good for the Carolina Gamecocks football program. So hey, draw some comparisons to that year to this year coming up. Hey, why not? Beamer, honestly, he can just do it all. Apparently, he changes the weather. But no, really, congrats to all y'all who had snow. It looked like a blast. And I'm glad it happened because it seemed like it was predicted, and then it was just going to be rain, and there was all this hype, and people were a little pissed off, bummed out, and I'm glad y'all got it. So hope you had a lovely, lovely weekend. So for this episode, really basketball focused here, we're going to go over the men's game as they took on Georgia on Saturday afternoon. We're going to preview their upcoming game against Vanderbilt, and then the women have a very busy week, starting right away Monday against Vanderbilt, so we're going to do a double preview. Crows to the game, just galore this episode. Going to be previewing, talking basketball, talking everything. So buckle up. But before we do get started, going to go back to the handy dandy calendar that I talked about last episode that has Carolina factoids, little trivia. Figured this could be a fun little thing. I don't know if I'll do it every episode, but if there is a little room where we could maybe squeeze in some other content, why not, right? So this one is actually trivia. The last one we had was a factoid with Danny Deeks. That was a fun one. So the trivia here, not exactly the most difficult trivia here, but question, what is the title of the South Carolina fight song? I don't know what that was. That was supposed to be a drum roll, I guess. But answer, for those keeping track at home, the Fighting Gamecocks Lead the Way. So there you go. If you didn't know the official title of the South Carolina fight song, now you do. Fun little trivia. So I hope you all got it right. But all right, let's dive into this here. So men's basketball, Saturday afternoon against Georgia. There's a little symmetry there. Beat Georgia and to hell with Georgia. I hate Georgia. We all hate Georgia. So anytime you get a chance to say to hell with Georgia, it's a good day. It's a good time, and I'm always going to revel in any time we can beat the Bulldogs in anything, especially they're riding high right now. I don't think this basketball loss really takes them down all that much, but hey, let's take a little bit away from them, shall we? So beat Georgia Saturday afternoon at home in Colonial Life. 83-66. And it was interesting because going into the half, Georgia was actually up 42-36. And I was watching it, and it just felt like the worst might happen. Just like, oh my gosh, have the wheels just totally fallen off this program? Georgia's not good. You look at their record. I talked about it last episode. They are not good. And it's remarkable, really, how bad they are. So this was a game that you could not let that happen. But hey, basketball, especially college basketball, is a game of runs. And in the second half, South Carolina, there we go, outscored UGA 47-24, including a 24-0 run. So just boom, came out of the gates, and the opposite of what that second half was against Arkansas was this. They came out, they had energy. They finally looked like they were playing with some passion, some energy, some grit, some cohesion, and it was a really nice second half. And this was a game that South Carolina really could not afford to lose. And you couldn't afford to lose it for multiple reasons. One, you want to be able to keep the fans engaged. The crowd at Colonial Life, like, it wasn't a packed house, but it was a good crowd. They were engaged. They were energetic, especially you're really kicking ass in the second half. So if you want to have the support of the fans for the remainder of the season, the remainder of these home games, at least in the short term, you got to win a game like this. It's against a rival program, a program who is down. It's a game where you were favored in. You got to beat these teams. So that was good. And also, you want to show some fight from the players and the coaches alike, where you had a bad couple of games. The heat was turning on the program early in league play. Like, we still have a lot of games left to be played this season. And you got to be able to show fight. You don't just roll over and die. Because if you do that, you're just saying you're giving up. And I don't think anybody wants to do that. And these guys are competitors. They certainly don't want to do that. And it shows that the program has at least a pulse, right? Like it might not be impressive and definitely frustrating. I definitely do still think that they are down the path of the end of the season probably needs to result in new leadership. But you at least have a pulse, right? You're trying to compete and you're staying there. And you're beating the teams you're supposed to. And while this possibility of getting hot and going on a big run in the middle of conference play, like, while I don't think that that is super likely where we could win our next several games in a row or something like that, like, the door is at least cracked for that now. Like, I don't want to say it just opens up a little bit of hope, but it does. And I don't know where this season can end, but now you have this game, you have this win, monkey's off your back, you're kind of, you know, you're finally off the schneid, as they say. You have a chance at home again. Maybe you can get on a little bit of a roll here. So who knows? Hopefully we can turn it into something. Some player highlights here for y'all. Eric Stevenson, Stevie, leading the way with 20 points. I like Stevie, but I only think we should call him Stevie when he's doing good. If you're doing bad and you're Eric Stevie Stevenson, it just it looks real bad. So for better or worse, Stevie, hopefully you can be leading the points more often than not. Keyshawn Bryant, monster game from him, 19 points. And if you haven't seen it, it is super viral. An absolute monster jam alley-oop from the inbound. Sick play, unreal. He's already had a couple of monster jams this year. He's exciting. He's a guy that when he goes and if he's hot, the team tends to perform well. And he's someone that hopefully you can get some better consistent play down the stretch. And in that same breath, Jermaine Cousinard, back after that one weird game blip, one weird hiatus, he had 15 points off the bench. And so in that same vein as Bryant, Cousinard is a guy that when he is hot, the team tends to perform well. And them two in particular, they're experienced guys. They've been on the program for a while. These two guys need to lead the way. Devin Carter started, didn't have the best day. Stevenson had a great day, but sometimes he's cold. A guy like Bryant and a guy like Cousinard, they can lead you. They can play solid, steady basketball, and everyone else around them can fit in, guys like James Reese. So that's what we need to see more of. Now, the men's next game is Wednesday night at 7 p.m. It's at home, so in Colonial Life against Vanderbilt. So not too long ago, we played Vandy at their place. So this is a rematch from not too long ago. Right now, Vandy is sitting at 10-8 overall. And since playing USC, they're 1-3. Also not doing that great in conference play. Just two programs that are just kind of treading water. And I actually think that one win is against Georgia, too. So we have this common opponent of Georgia that we just beat up on. And the only difference is that we beat them the last time we played. So it's going to be a close one. It's a game where now that you have a little bit of momentum against Georgia, maybe you can put some things together. And at home, I don't know. Because my crow to the game here is use the momentum from this last win and try to bring that same energy at home once again. I just mentioned it, but the last time we met, it was a 2-point squeaker win. It was super close. And it stands to reason that this game could be tight again. I mean, when you look at the records and the stats, we're very close, very comparable to this Vanderbilt basketball team, right? Yes, they have Scottie Pippen Jr. Like, that's a nice star player right there. We don't really have that. But record-wise, points allowed, points per game, it's comparable. So you got to be able to find a way to show that fight and to show that grit and to make those defensive adjustments. Now, we've been saying that game in and game out throughout this SEC schedule, and we haven't always seen it. So if Carolina can come out, use the momentum from the UGA win, use that energy from the home crowd, because now hopefully the fans are more engaged and everything like that. If you can get a little momentum here, that would be a nice back-to-back win. And then, hey, maybe the mojo starts flowing. I don't know what could happen from there. But again, it all starts with keeping that same energy, the poise, the passion, the cohesion, limiting the turnovers. South Carolina did a good job against Georgia at not having stupid turnovers. Fouling is still an issue. We have to figure out how to clean that up. At this point, I don't know if you can. So you have to find a way to manage it. And if you cannot turn the ball over, well, at least that's two evils, one that you can mitigate, right? I don't know. But my second crow to the game, same as last time that we played, it's not an obvious one when you play Vanderbilt, but slow down Scottie Pippen Jr. I think he averages somewhere around 18 points a game. I remember that number from the last time, and I think he scored like 18 or 19. So kept him right at his average. You'd like to see that below. But if you can slow him down, try to make them a little bit more one-dimensional, who knows, right? So we got to play good defense, play smart, slow down Pippen Jr., and then hopefully we're talking about this game saying, hey, Gamecocks now, little winning streak, two games in a row, because I think if we do those things, we should be able to beat Vandy. Now, I'm not gonna make a bet on that. I'm not gonna make promises, because this team has been so up and down, so hot and cold, one half to the next. We saw that against Arkansas, where first half they looked like this is a team that can hang with anybody in the SEC. Even a little bit against Auburn, we saw that, and then the wheels just come off. And they go sideways. So hopefully we can keep the momentum and play a complete game. That's what I think Carolina fans are wanting to see so badly, at least in the SEC play. Play a complete game. That's what's frustrating with this team, is that they go on stretches where they're just super hot and they look good. And then they also have stretches where they just look horrible. That's what's frustrating, and there's no consistency, and that falls on the coaching staff, because you got to figure out the lineups, and you got to figure out the rotations, the defenses, all that jazz, what suits this group best. So hopefully, we can use the second half of the Georgia game to get a complete game against Vandy. Who knows? Go Cox, as always. Let's root them in. And now moving over to the women's side of things here, double preview. It is preview bananas, banana land here this episode, as they have two games that will happen before the next episode comes out. So this is electric here. Starting Monday night at home against Vandy. So Vandy versus South Carolina, it's this week's special. If you go to the buffet, the basketball buffet, they are just pushing Vanderbilt, South Carolina on you. And I'm tired of talking about Vanderbilt. Ugh, Vandy. Oh my gosh. But The women's team, our women's team, is coming off a nice rest, which was nice in the middle of league play. So hopefully they are refreshed and ready to attack this team. Vanderbilt, kind of on the other end of the spectrum from our women's team. They are not that great. Their team is 10-9 overall, but just 1-4 in the SEC. And they are coming into Colonial Life hot off of a 4-game losing streak. So not in the best place are the Vanderbilt Commodores women's basketball team. That's a mouthful. But my crow to the game for this, it's simple. Be us. I've said this before. Play our game. Be us. Play smart. Play smothering defense. And I would like this to use this game to get back in the groove of SEC play, right? We've had a very tough, grinding, mentally taxing schedule to this point, and you had a nice little break there. This is the perfect sort of get back in the groove game. And my bonus, not really a crow, but my bonus crow here is ideally be able to put this game away early enough so that we can rest our starters, rest our key players, and let's get some other players some solid playing time who might normally not see a lot of that. If this game could be in hand early fourth quarter and essentially you can play the whole fourth quarter with backups, that would be really nice. And you never know. I mean, down the line in a tournament game, there could be long games, overtime games, things like that. You might need to tap into your bench a little bit more than you had to. So this could be a good time for some of those players to get experience against an SEC opponent. Yes, it is not Tennessee or LSU, but hey, it's still the SEC, I guess. Vanderbilt's like, outside of basketball, like SEC light. Kind of like Mizzou. Like, Mizzou's like the redheaded stepchild of the SEC. Vanderbilt's like, you're just doing your own thing. Thank you for the W's. And then moving over to their second game of the week, the women's team is Thursday at 6 p.m., also at home. Big time marquee matchup against UConn. Nice. We've had this home and home with them for a while, but this is the second time we are playing them this year. UConn, since we have seen them last, they are 10-4 on the year overall. They're currently ranked 9th in the country, which is kind of funny to see. I mean, we've been at the top. Baylor has had times at the top. But UConn just feels like they're always right there. To see them 9, it's kind of funny. But Paige Beckers, she's out. If you are in the know of women's college basketball, you know that she is a top player, top prospect, all of it. She's out. I don't know if she's due to come back at all this year, but so she's out, has something to do with their record, but they're UConn. They still got lots of talent and depth. That's just how that program operates. But this is a cool opportunity to play a top program twice in a season. That's not in the SEC. Normally you do get those, but to play a UConn twice, this is going to say a lot about our team. And it's just the grind of the South Carolina schedule, it just continues on. And it really is crazy. This schedule is elite, and it is top tier after top tier opponent. But I've said it before, and I'll say it again. I think this will pay dividends down the line in March. But my crow to the game here is control the paint. UConn has a couple of good forwards, so you need to really rely on Boston and our depth in the post to win that battle, like Saxon, Cardoza, and the rest should fall into place. Be able to play through your guards, distribute the ball well. We talked about some of the highlight players in our last episode, so if we can control the paint, I think everything else will fall into place. We have good defense. UConn might be able to shoot well at times, but we can probably hang with them. So hopefully, if we do those things, it could be a very good week, work week, we'll say, for women's college basketball and potentially for the men's side as well. So let's keep our fingers crossed. Let's root them in and let's expect hope for the best results. Let's go Cox on all fronts there. And with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. If you could do me a favor, follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is the name of the show. Cox Talking Gamecocks. And if you can, like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave me a review. I love seeing the reviews, getting suggestions, getting praise, getting hate, whatever it may be. Leave your thoughts. I appreciate it. And with that, I will see y'all at the next episode. Go Cox.